Welcome back to Frenemies, the podcast where sales and marketing talk. My name is Julia Hartwig and I stand for marketing in this podcast, and I'm talking with
your wonderful sales guy, Ahmet Albayrak. I am such an arrogant. I sound such an, like an arrogant, but believe me, I'm not. I'm so humble as a salesperson.
Yes, and today we want to talk about pricing. I mean, this year, everybody is getting more price sensitive. Companies worldwide are trying to cut their costs. I think yesterday I read a survey that 65% more buyers are negotiating price. So it is obviously a big topic. So what we want to talk about today is how do you set pricing, which obviously marketing is very involved in. And then, of course, how do you communicate pricing in sales? And what are kind of good tactics to, you know, talk price with prospects and to hopefully get them to become customers?
this is my job. Yeah. So first, what I would say, you know, it's like it's really, I can even say, you know, it's like everyone is, you know, it's like just even in sometimes before I start, you know, showing the platform, they just ask, you know, it's like, what is the pricing? What is the pricing? And I was, or I don't know. When they, for example, when I through the outreach process, they also send me like, we don't have a budget for this. But if you don't know the platform, you know what it, what the values that it provides, it's like, you know, it's like I was like, okay, just let me just show the platform. You know, it's like okay, but you know, we don't have high hopes from us. You know, it's like we don't have a budget, etc. But it's really a hard thing to decide. So I was first also curious about what is your side? What are you guys talking about in those time, in these times about pricing, the pricing strategy in marketing?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time. And again, I've basically just run through this entire process at my company where I, you know, started, we adjusted to go to market approach, which of course also came with setting a new pricing strategy. So, you know, I've just run through the entire thing of setting up and choosing both a pricing model and a pricing strategy and testing it with customers and prospects to see if it actually works. And obviously it is a difficult point because of course you need to make sure that you're actually getting the revenue in that you need to, you know, become profitable and increase revenue and grow. Well, at the same time, obviously like this day and age, you need to have a competitive price. And I think a lot of companies are pressured to lower their prices so they're actually still attractive. And that is a really difficult, you know, spot to be in and to make this decision. But there are, of course, different ways to set up pricing. I mean, what we see in SaaS most commonly is, of course, that there's a price per user, which makes sense. But that can be very challenging in the current situation as well, depending on how good you are also to measure and track this, right? But we all know this. I work at a startup. I mean, we're using like solutions where we're sharing access, right? Because you're paying per user. And of course, that is an easy way to cut costs. So that's, of course, something you want to make sure you have a track on and you can somewhat prevent. So if it's, for example, you know, having one user cost but giving three logins or something like that, it's a very good way to, you know, still sign customers on, especially smaller customers, and enable them to, you know, grow with your company and hopefully grow the account. So I think that's, you know, overall it's a tough spot right now. I mean, I would say the two most prominent ways to set up your pricing strategy is either value-based pricing, which I think is generally the one that I prefer. So to actually check what value does our product provide to customers and really doing the research there, talking to customers, and then of course checking how much are they willing to pay for this. The difficulty there is, of course, that, again, you need to make sure that you actually get the money in you need. So you actually balance this out with production cost, development cost, and so on and so on. So that's a bit the tricky part with the value-based pricing. And the other one is, of course, like pricing based on competition, which can be really tricky as well. And that very much depends on the market landscape you're dealing with. Because if you are in a super competitive market and you have a very low brand awareness, you have a very small market share, it's going to be difficult for you to ask for the same prices that your competitors that are having a bigger market share are asking for. So it's always a tricky part. I think no matter how you set up your pricing, the most important part is to test it properly and to ensure A, it's easy understandable, and B, it really fits to the customers. So, you know, for example, how you offer different features or the package sizes, the tiers you put up, all of this needs to fit to what customers actually need. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense to have a key feature be something that people have to add on and pay for, because you know that 100% of customers need this feature. Well, then you need to come up with a pricing that includes this feature, because again, this year, this is an additional barrier for people. If they know, okay, so this is the cost, that is fine. Oh shit, and then we need to pay $1,000 to have this feature on top, but we absolutely need this feature. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but exactly.
As we talked about pricing, and you also said, like, you know, people ask, like, kind of jump the gun and ask about pricing straight away. So what is your opinion as a seller on, you know, showing pricing transparently on the website versus, you know, not showing it?
Actually, you know, it's like with our current solution, it has two sides. It's like it has a B2C side and B2B side. And for the B2B side, we have, for example, we are really strong on the market. So it's like we are one of the best platforms. We are the best platform, basically. I can easily say that confidently.
Again, you would say that about a lot of things. So,
yeah, you know me.
You also think you're the best seller that exists. So,
yeah. Also, you know, I recently started doing Muay Thai, so it's like my goal is to become the Jet Li of, you know, the sales world. So it's like I'm kind of preparing for all sides from all sides. So, anyway, what I do is because, you know, it's like our platform really provides value for universities, in this case, that work with us. And when they ask, like in the middle of the demo, I just say, okay, let's do it. Because, you know, I don't want to waste their time, also my time. But I am really flexible when it comes to, you know, giving discounts and, you know, free trials. Because as a company, we have almost no churn. You know, it's like our churn rate is really, really low. If the university closes, shuts down its doors and etc., and then they stop using us. But other than that, they just, you know, keep using us because we really provide that value. So that's why I just showed to them and tell them, hey, we have some additional options, but I just wanted to continue to show our platform to, you know, it's additional other features, so we can talk it at the end.
But that means that you don't have pricing shown transparently on the website.
No, we are not. For B2B side, not. So B2C, we have. So it's like, it's transparent. For B2B side, no, it's like, we don't have it. Because we are already, you know, it's like, very well known. Because when I reach out to company universities, they already, I just heard about it. And I was like, oh, my friends at XYZ University is using it. It's really nice, you know, it's like, but we are now entering in the new markets, like German market, you know, it's like, they're like curious about it. They're really curious about it. Oh, what is it about? Is there any other German university? We don't have it yet, but you know, it's like we are talking with a lot of universities right now in Germany as well. So it's like for them is, especially when, even if I showed the pricing for them, after I showed the whole platform, they're like, it's really worth it. I heard it so many times. It's such a comprehensive platform. It's so nice. It's really good. And I was like, I heard it so many. No one said, you know, like we cannot use it. You know, there is no use case or something.
I'm just asking about it because for you as a seller, of course, this is kind of an additional hurdle that you have demos and conversations with people who don't know what the pricing is. So, you know, I think, again, I mean, both parts have advantages and disadvantages, right? But like by showing pricing transparently, that of course generally increases the quality of the conversations you can have, because of course there are still lots to dive into in any pricing like model you have. There are still questions on, okay, what is included? And there's of course still negotiation, but you as a seller, of course, enter the call and you know that they have somewhat an idea of, okay, this, you know, fits in the budget, or this is even something that is possible.
Yeah. It's, that's why it's like when they want to show it, so when they want to see the pricing, I just show it, and I was like, this is our pricing. And mostly, you know, it's like it's affordable. Our prices is mostly affordable for them, even that they don't have a budget for example for this semester from the beginning of the next year or next semester. We just offer, you know, it's like if you like us, you know, so you can test it and we can just start, you know, freely. You can use free of charge till September, then you can start paying, no problem with that. So that's why, you know, so I have really in these times I have really a really big advantage of having a really good product, you know, with a really good product market fit product to sell, because it makes my job and my life really much more easier.
But it makes everybody's job easier. I mean, that is like you can't sustain in this market if you don't have product market fit. Like it's not gonna happen this year. Like last year, everybody was riding off the wave of, like, you know, buying solutions, and it just has changed completely, and we're not in that same situation anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's also, you know, it's like one of the, because you know, I talk with, you know, it's like prospects from various continents and countries. That's why, you know, we have, you know, it's like different pricing for each country as well, because yeah, it's more on a region based pricing, because, you know, it's like we know that, you know, it's like India is different than Germany, or UK is different than US. I was like, when we compare to those regions, it's a really, you know, the incomes of the companies are different, you know, expenditures are different, everything is different. So you have to, you know, definitely know, you cannot set up a pricing for all. It doesn't work. If you aim globally as a company, it's like you have to know the differences. And I was like, you have to see your competitors' prices in those regions specifically to understand, okay, that could be my pricing, so that's why I should do my pricing at that way.
I think an additional factor to like have regional pricing set up is that, of course, a key factor for success is adoption rate, right? And you want to, like, you need to ensure that your solution gets good adoption of the users that purchase it. And how customers adopt products is also widely different in different regions. And having mapped out kind of an understanding of, this is, for example, how in US companies new products get onboarded and adopted versus in Germany, where, you know, the rates of like onboarding and implementation are normally longer because people are a little bit more tech averse. Is a key figure there as well. So that's why I totally agree. Like regional pricing is a really good point if you are aimed globally and you really want to, you know, penetrate different markets.
Exactly. You also understand, for example, the concerns of the customer as well. It's not, their concerns not only about, you know, the pricing, also the, like, the, you know, for example, the privacy. Germany has additional layers of security besides GDPR, DSGVO, you know, it's like you have to show them. That's why, for example, in my first demos to Germany, you know, I was still a rookie on that. So I didn't, for example, expect that question about, you know, it's like, how are you DSGVO compliant? I wasn't sure. That's why I said, you know, I was like, I don't know yet. I need to check and get back to you. Then I learn, okay, we are compliant. So it's like, okay. Normally, when I, you know, it's like demo a German university or something, it's like what I do is I directly mention about, hey, we are doing this and this and this and this, and we are fully compliant. We don't store data locally, you know, so we have some additional certificates as well. They feel like, okay. So they feel more secure about that as well.
I think one question I also have, because I experienced it. So there was a provider that I was testing, and I wanted to see a demo, but they had no pricing shown on their website. So I had no idea, like, you know, even what ballpark we're in here, and if that is something that, you know, fits in my budget. So anyway, I requested a demo. And of course, what happens is that I got a qualification call from an SDR. And, you know, one of the things she asked was, of course, like, so what is your budget for this? And, you know, then she told me already there the price, which of course is great, but it's just the way the conversation was carried. It nearly felt like, you know, like her, you know, approving that, like, I have enough budget for this, which of course makes sense before they waste my time and I waste their time. But I just have to say, like, as a buyer, it didn't feel good the way it was handled.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? So if the prospect you're talking to doesn't ask about pricing, how do you handle that in sales conversations? When do you bring up the pricing?
Most probably at the end, because we have, you know, two pricing tiers, you know, it's like in order to understand them, we have to, because some additional futures comes to the premium pricing tier. So it's like, I need to show them the first futures. And at the end, in most cases, like 80%, they ask about the pricing, and it's like, what about the pricing? What is the cost of the platform? But if they don't ask, you know, it's like, hey, let's talk about the pricing, because, you know, you have to pay us, you know, to use that platform. And so, I come like more in a, try to be more engaging in that. And I just show the pricing just without any, you know, it's like, hey, this is this and this is that. And I just explain clearly what I can do. You know, it's like, what is it about? You know, what is the limitations, et cetera, et cetera. What we don't limit, you know, everything is clear. And I also sent them, you know, it's like, I will send it when I will create a demo account for you, and I will send the pricing as well. So you don't have to, you know, so keep it in mind. I was like, it was this or that. Everything is clear. If they share it with their management, their colleagues, you know, everything will be there. I put, you know, it's like all my hands are open on that. And I was like, I don't play hidden cards or something. I just, you know, this is our pricing. So because, you know, it's like, this is our platform, this is our values, and this is our pricing. So at the end, I mostly speak at the end to, you know, it's like explain everything in more in detail.
And how do you handle negotiations? Because one thing, of course, like for me, and I know it's easy to say because I am not in sales, I'm not having these conversations, but giving discounts is not a proper sales strategy.
Yeah,
and it shouldn't
exactly
be, you know, the first go-to of like, oh, they might not like want to purchase. Well, then I just give them a massive discount. Like, it's very understandable. And there are obviously situations where this absolutely makes sense and it gets you like a close deal versus a lost deal. But it just shouldn't be the automatic like reaction for pushback from prospects. How do you handle that?
So what I do is like, you know, when they ask directly for a discount, it's like, hold on there. Okay. You know, it's like, because what I see, you know, it's like from our platform, everything, it's so, platform is so mature. You know, it's like you see the values that it can provide. You know, you don't need to, for example, if you have a need for additional employee, you don't need it with our platform. So you can provide this service, you can do your job much more easier with us. So I just,
sorry, but I
know,
can really notice that you had a lot of demos today, because this is kind of like a pitch episode.
Yeah. Lately, you know, it's like I just recently launched a campaign, new campaign email.
We know, you mentioned it every LinkedIn episode.
It still works. It still works, you know, it's like 32 demos so far, so in the last three weeks, so I'm still, you know, pitching every time. So what I do, what was the question again? I just forgot.
How you handle negotiations, and if prospects ask for discounts or try to negotiate pricing?
So what I do, I just, mentioned about more of the values that we provide. It's like what the return of investment, when you put our platform. So it's like, and I just play a little bit more hard on that, so cold on that. So it's our pricing, so I cannot do that anything for you right now. So if they are, it's like really interested, when you can kind of sense, feel what they are actually, it's like, because most of the times universities, career service departments, they are nice people. Okay. It's like they don't know about, it's like negotiating fearlessly, it's like doing the getting the best price out of it. Just they're like, you can understand, like, we don't have a budget at that level, but I really want to use that platform. I just like, okay. Okay, then it's like, because I see really, it's like they want to use it, but they cannot. So it's like, then I just try to expand the commitment. So our pricing is on 12-month subscription based. So then let's commit to 3 years, and I can give you an extra discount. So it's like I can, the range of the contract will be longer for us. So it will be no lost at our side, not much loss at our side. So I can give an extra discount in that sense. But I don't, directly give, I can give you a discount. I can, provide you a discount, free trial, free to use, go. I'm not like that. I just wait, and you can kind of understand that, okay. Because, it's like if they really don't have that budget, but also really want to use it, let's use it because it's a really useful platform. I'm also feeling, when I'm selling it, I feel also so comfortable because it helps students also to,
We got it,
it's
we
like
got it.
land.
Again, having been on the buyer side, what you see a lot of times when you are in the buying process, all of a sudden, like end of month, end of quarter, you have sellers reaching out to you with crazy discounts because of course they want to like hit their quota and they want to make that sale. So all of a sudden they're super willing to give like, really good competitive prices.
That's why I have a great manager on that. So we don't do it like this. So end of quarter, end of things. So it's like it's not our strategy, it's like in order to hit the targets, because we don't have any investors. It's like privately held company. We don't have investors to show the numbers or something. We have also, of course, we have some company goals, quarterly goals, of etc. But it's like it's more important to have a healthy pipeline with, healthy
Sales
prices,
velocity.
so to say. That's why it's we are not doing this. So it's end of the quarter, so let's push it. Let's sign. No, we don't do that. So we just wait, whenever they are ready. So.
Yeah, that's great because again, I mean, it's something you see in the market happening a lot. And as you say, I mean, it comes very much down to, the targets and kind of what the company is working towards. But I feel like it nearly lowers the value of the solution, right? And it also has this feeling of untrustworthiness because like you were told
Exactly.
one price like 2 weeks ago, and now all of a sudden it's like there's crazy discounts and you're like, where did this come from? Why wasn't I offered this 2 weeks ago? I could have become a happy customer and now, I feel like I was told a different story. So I think the downsides of this kind of motion is are way bigger than the upsides. Of course, like revenue generated, deal closed is like really, really important. I'm not trying to talk that part down, but just on like the customer satisfaction there, it's a bit difficult. And then of course also if you don't have the steady flow and you all of a sudden just have to spike towards like end of month or end of quarter, again, that might put like the customer success team at stress. So are they all gonna have a good onboarding experience or is everybody just all of a sudden insanely busy and it's a bad onboarding experience, meaning that they're actually not gonna be happy customers.
Exactly. It's also, so I saw it many times. In order to, sign them up, they gave them false promises even. It's like they also all pushes all these problems to customer success team, and they're just like, I talked with some AEs, bad AEs, that say like, it's like customer success can deal with them. I just, made the promise, just sign the deal, get my commission out of it, and I was like, they can deal with this. it's not the right way to, it's not, it's unethical actually doing your, as you know, you provide some value for the employer that you work for, and that's not the right thing to do for them to, you know, it's like, you should be honest and real. And if it's something like this, you know, so if the Apple, any phone, I'm selling to you anything, I'm just saying like, this is the pricing. It's like, okay, my friend, it's like $200 discount, $200 discount. What do you think? You know, it's like, is there something wrong with it? And I was like, is it not something worth it? And I was like, you should definitely psychologically, you know, it's like, you might think like, okay, there's something going on. I was like, they're actually going not closer to sign. They're going, you know, it's like far away from signing a contract with you as well.
And that also, like, I feel like is a big part or is something that should be handled in the needs discovery, right? And when you as a seller check, like, yeah, okay, so do you see any, like, barriers? Do you see any hurdles we have to overcome? What are your concerns? And of course, if they say a key concern is budget, your solution is above the budget that I have for this, of course, then, you know, okay, a discount could be something that gets the deal. But most likely what their concerns are going to be is actually other things. And by just adding a discount, you're not addressing these concerns in any way. You're not, like, you know, hearing their pains and actually addressing those. You're just exactly kind of trying to slap a Band-Aid on on something.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's really, you know, it's like sometimes, most of the times I don't understand. And then at the same time, you see those SaaS companies in general, you know, it's like they push for these numbers, you know, to just show off on their LinkedIn profile or their investors, etc. But at the end, they all fail. They really all fail. For example, when you look at, because I used some of the tools that are really, you know, successful SaaS companies. During the, even before we start, I, you know, it's like, I was attendant on demo, I was on the customer side. And they were really honest, you know, it's like about the features they don't have, if it's there on their roadmap, they just show it to me. Like, we are trying to implement it on the second quarter of 2024 or something. It was like, everything was so clear in my head. And when it comes to pricing, there was like, okay, we are this and this and this and this. But, you know, it's like, I know it's like you are a few users, etc., etc. We can do a discount on this. Okay. So it's like, it's the final price that I can do. All right. Because I'm a Turkish guy, I love to negotiate as a seller. If I'm on the customer side, I would definitely negotiate to get a lower price. So because I know I can get a lower price on a product. But, you know, it was like the process was so smooth from the beginning, and they don't, also, even with the follow-up, you know, after that, it's like, it should be also smooth, not bothering every day or every other day. Just like, did you check it? Did you get the chance to check it? What about the pricing? Let's arrange another meeting. Dude, come on. And I was like, even with the company, there are too many stakeholders to close the deal. So they have to also discuss it internally at first. And it takes time to, you know, get all those, even if it's a remote company, it takes, you know, so 1-2 weeks to, you know, discuss about one product purchase. So it's like, it's really hard for them. So that's why you should be, you know, more patience is the name of the sales game. So it's like, you have to be patient, you have to wait, and you don't bother them, you don't push them. It should feel so smooth for them in order to make them a long-term customer, in order to short-term, like, okay, we don't like it, bye-bye. And I was like, give it to a customer success team should be a smooth process in that as well.
Yeah, but one thing I'm wondering about, it's not directly related to pricing, but another thing that especially last year you saw popping up is that, you know, you get an incentive and you get a gift card for having a demo. Not you as a seller, but you as a prospect. How do you feel about that on the sales side?
I don't think it's, you know, worth it.
Yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't use that strategy because, you know, for why should I send, you know, it's like, maybe after, what I would do if I have chance to use a gift card, I would do it like, after the demo or during the, it's like negotiation process. I was like, it was really nice to talk to you. Even we don't work together. I just wanted to send you this 20 euro gift card to use it. I was like, it would be like it would make much more sense to do that. But at the first stage, in order to just to get the meeting or the demo, it's like, it's useless, in my eyes. And I was like, just a 20 euro gift card, just a demo. Okay, we are not interested. We both, just sacrifice our time. And I don't want to spend my time with, useless prospects at this stage. So not, buying prospects. I just want to show my platform to people who are really interested. So not like, I was like, okay, I'll just receive the gift card, so let's do the demo. No, I don't want that. So it wouldn't be my strategy point.
It's the same effect that we just talked about with like giving discounts, right? Of it creates like pretty numbers, but in the end, what you get out of it is very low. But I mean, I guess it's also the main idea that our demo is so good that even though that person isn't interested and is just doing it for the gift card, they are going to buy it because it's just top notch.
Yeah, but I don't think so. It's like when people, even you have a great product, we have a great product. It's like our problem. We never use, it's like I just showed the platform, as I said, most of the time I get, really positive feedbacks. But, using that, it's like create a, I'm not confident about my own product. It's like, I'm confident. That's why my tone in my campaigns are also really confident. It's like, okay, we do this. We have really proof of concept. We work with Harvard, NYU,
but any again, big university. Your communication would always be confident. Like, it doesn't matter for what solution you work for. But to be fair, another study I read is actually that confidence is one of the traits most prominently found in sellers. So it is just, and it makes sense. Of course, it is a trait you need to have.
Yeah.
If you are talking to a lot of people every day and you're trying to sell them something, I think it's really, really difficult if you're not confident to do that.
Yeah. But I saw some people there, it's like not that confident. When they are just too excited, about telling it. And it's not create the confidence. Real confident, towards their prospects. It's like, it's like, we have this, we have that, we have this, we have that. No. Just like slowly, it's like confidently, like you talk like seducing the customers in a way to get this thing up with
so
you.
This is your pricing strategy.
Yeah, this is my pricing strategy.
That was our little dive into pricing and how to set it up in marketing and how to talk about it in sales. And thanks for today, Ahmed. Speak to you next week.
Thank you too. Bye-bye.